You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hey, welcome Space and Treasure Coast to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on the AM 1510 WWBC 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7 FM. Yes, we are here today. This is Ellen Little. Sita today, this is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, but Sita is actually at a candidate forum in Melbourne. So if you are not listening to us live on the show, we hope that you are there supporting Sita Begee at the candidate forum at One Senior Place right there in Melbourne, Florida. But we do have a fantastic show lined up today. We have Joe Shim, who's kind of acting as co-host today.
And I'm very pleased to be here.
We're so happy to be here.
Thank you. And we have some very interesting topics that we're going to be discussing.
Yes. And we'll also have Susan Smith, who's going to be calling in, who's the president of the Democratic Caucus here in Florida. She's going to be calling in about 20 minutes after the hour. And we're going to have a really rich discussion about the amendments today, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes, there's a lot to learn, believe me.
And you've been studying it for a long time.
I have, and I still have more studying to do.
So we'll all get some studying in today. But another very special guest that we have with us today that's going to be starting out the show is Teresa Lopez. And
hi, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today, Joe and Ellen. I appreciate that very much.
We're so excited to have you. Now, a little bit about Teresa. She is actually the Melbourne City Council District 6 chairperson, correct?
Correct.
And you're running for re-election.
Yes, I am.
Yes, so we're going to hear all about Teresa. And so if you live in the Melbourne city limits, you will be voting on hopefully voting for Teresa once you hear all of the great information about her. But it would be remiss if we didn't start out with a little bit of kitchen table topics, which Sita always loves to start out with. And the biggest topic, of course, is poor Mexico Beach and our panhandle that has just been devastated by Hurricane Michael. Over the last part of last week and certainly over the weekend, the news and the pictures of just devastating of what's going on up there. But we also want to thank the mayors, Tallahassee, Mexico Beach, certainly that whole panhandle area and the first responders that are just really providing a lot of support to those victims. And they truly are victims at this point because a lot of people are homeless. Yeah, so... and I know all of us extend those same wishes and prayers for all of those folks
definitely,
that are out there.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. And I know like a lot of, I don't know if this is going to affect voting, you know, whether they're going to push things back a little bit just because it's the panhandle, who knows, right? So this is why you need to stay in tune to all of the information that's going on, especially for our state. Because I know a lot of things were postponed from Friday, even some deadlines and so forth that were on Friday to make sure that everybody was able to participate, so... Again, our families, our friends that are all up in the panhandle, we wish you the best. Certainly wish you the best. So, Teresa, we want to start off with you.
Thank
so,
you.
And how long have you been in Melbourne?
25 years I've been as a resident. And also, I was raised in New York City, as a matter of fact. And I graduated from Baruch College with a bachelor's degree of education and a minor in business administration. I worked as a teacher for a year and decided to go into the financial industry. I'm a voting member of the Space Coast League of Cities. I'm also a voting member of the Space Coast Transportation Planning Organization, past president of the Florida Puerto Rican Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, who endorsed me, and also I was endorsed by the Space Coast AFL-CIO, which I'm very proud to be endorsed.
Wow, you should be proud of all of those accomplishments.
Thank you so much.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And a Brevard resident for 25 years.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've seen a lot of changes.
Yes, I have. I've been a community activist addressing several issues in our community. So I know everything that goes on in the city of Melbourne.
So what's your hot button right now with things that are going on in Melbourne? What's one of the things that you're the most passionate about?
The most passionate that I am involved in is the beautification and sustainability board that I introduced to the city, and they're doing a good job, and I want to continue being involved because that's going to make our city a better place to live in the especially in the future. Also, we're working on bike paths by being a voting member of the Space Coast League of Cities. We're working on bike paths all over the city. Helps out, you know, less transportation, less smog in our air, and so forth. Also, I support a research done by the city to start looking at alternatives for plastic bags. We have to try to get away from that. It's important that we look into that for the environment. Also, I requested from the Brevard County Sheriff's Office a program called Project Lifesaver. And a lot of people don't know that program. That program
that's a new one to me too.
Helps our residents, especially our seniors and our handicapped. They put a monitor on them, so in case they walk out and they get lost, the police is able to locate them within minutes. And that's at no cost at all to our residents. So that's a big factor as far as I'm concerned for our residents.
Wow. What are some of the steps that we need? You talked about the environment. That was one of the bigger passions, especially with the plastic bags. What are some of the things that the city's doing?
Well, the city is
the sustainability project, by the way, is really cool too.
Yes. The city is funding septic to sewer, which helps some of our low-income residents that can't afford to upgrade their septic tank. They help them transfer over to sewer at a minimum cost to them. And they're doing that at Front Street, and hopefully it'll extend throughout areas close to the Indian River Lagoon.
That's fantastic.
Yes, it
fantastic.
Is. We're very fortunate.
And what about from a transportation? I know that about the sidewalks and so forth, but I notice, and I mean, it's notable now. There's a lot more bus stops.
Yes.
There's a lot more where they're covered as well. It's
yes.
not because I have friends that take the bus, you know, that for different reasons, but certainly that are out there. And I'm like, wow, you don't even have a bench or anything to wait. But Melbourne has really made a big difference in that.
Yes. My first campaign was for the city to fund more benches and enclosures, because you see there are a lot of handicapped people too waiting for buses, and with the sun beating on them, it's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and the rain and fire ants.
And just the time to wait for the bus.
Absolutely.
I mean, if they run regularly, that'll be great. But you never know. You know, issues do come up.
Sure, absolutely.
Teresa, I was just wondering about how you were intending to eliminate plastic bags. And I want to give you one good piece of news. I used to live in St. Croix, and I went back recently and found out that they have put in legislation to eliminate plastic bags from all the major retailers and supermarkets. So it can be done.
Yes, it can. I'm glad to hear that they're doing that there. Now, I'll give you samples. Lucky Market is not using plastic bags at all. They're using reusable shopping bags. That's one good example. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be a little bit of cost, but I'm sure our residents will be very satisfied to contribute to additional costs just not to have plastic bags. Mm-hmm. And public supermarkets also gives you an alternate. They give you either plastic bags or paper bags. Mm-hmm. So you do have an option there, and people should be using those options.
And we also have an option because Joe Shim just gave us some cool swag from the League of Women Voters that says on the outside of the bag, vote, right? It says, your vote, your voice. League of Women Voters on the Space Coast. So I'll post a picture of that. And it's a great shopping bag.
Yes,
it's
is.
A great option for a shopping bag.
You.
So thank you, Joe, for that as well.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But I noticed what they do in England is there's just a small charge for a plastic bag in the supermarkets, and everybody brings their own. So that's another measure that could be employed.
Definitely.
And they, well, and they do that in Canada too, I think.
Excuse me?
They do that in Canada as well.
Yes, and the supermarkets also allows you to buy their alternative bags with their names on them. So that's also good for the supermarkets,
yeah,
too.
Sure.
And advertisement as well at affordable prices.
Right. Absolutely. So what are the things you have going on at the city that you want to tell us about, Teresa? Because
okay.
we want to get you reelected.
Thank you. Well, I do support our general bond. That's coming up for vote from our citizens. We are, the bond will be for a new police building for the city of Melbourne, a $35 million investment. And the city is growing. The building we currently have, there's too many problems with it, air conditioning, there's
mold. Is that the one that's behind the airport?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
There's mold, it's unsafe, and they have filing storage there, too, that the man is getting out of hand. And also, they have to have two places for the police to be able to do everything. Their headquarters is also on Babcock. And it's terrible that they have to go to different places to accomplish the needs of the city. So I think the city should support, our residents should support the funding for that new building.
So is that going to be a referendum that's going to be on the ballot?
Yes, it is.
And just think about that, folks. I mean, if you're repairing an old building all the time, I mean, that's a lot of cost.
It's not cost effective.
It really isn't. And if you're, especially if you're running two buildings and you can get down to one.
Oh, yes.
You know, just from everything. Yeah.
I'm also working on trying to limit the chemicals we put in our drinking water. I think the least chemicals we have, the better it is for our health. One of those chemicals is fluoride that I am totally against. So I'm working on having better water for our residents.
And think about it. Yeah, that will cut down on pollution as well because we'll have less plastic bottles and people won't have to buy their drinking water.
Right, and it's expensive for the city. It's a yearly expense of $50,000 just for the fluoride. So we'll save our money as well.
Yeah. And don't forget, we're going to be talking about amendments coming up in the second part of the show. But, you know, don't forget about your city referendums that are out there as well. Is there any other referendums that are going to be on the ballot for Melbourne?
The only one that we currently have, and it's a very important one that needs to be passed.
Absolutely. And you've had a lot of accomplishments in your tenure as a city official.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that you really feel good about what you were able to get passed? And I mean, I know you talked about some of them kind of briefly, but go into some, brag a little. Brag
okay,
a little about what's going on. Sure.
As a voting member of the Space Coast League of Cities, I introduce a resolution supporting federal feed and dividend program that would exact a price on carbon dioxide pollution while sending the money back to our residents.
So what does that mean in layman's terms?
In other words, for the businesses or the industries that put pollution into our environment, we will charge them a fee for doing it. And it will come back to the residents. It isn't like the residents are going to pay for that. We will benefit from it, and plus less pollution in our air.
Yeah, that's awesome. Jo, do you have something?
I was just going to say that sounds very much like the Citizens Climate Lobby policy, carbon fee and dividend policy, which you know they're promoting
right
now.
That's exactly what it
is. Mm-hmm. And that's excellent. I think that's something that we really need to get done to, you know, decrease global warming.
That's correct.
And to, you know, improve the environment and prevent sea level rise as well. These issues are really coming home. People can really see that they're affecting our communities right now.
That's correct.
We certainly are dumping into the lagoon. I mean, we have been dumping in the past, but, you know, we forget about all these other things, about the carbon monoxide and the carbon dioxide and all of the things that we have that are in our air that are also doing just as much damage to the estuaries and the animals. And
I also support the purchase of electric cars within our city. I think that would add a lot to the smog in our city and in our environment.
It's so exciting to see charging stations,
yes.
Isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes.
I mean, when I started, I was out at Hammock Landings, out in, it's actually in West Melbourne. And they have right in the entrance, they have 5 Tesla charging stations that are there. And of course, at the Melbourne Library on Pineapple, they have the few charging stations that are there as well. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the Jetsons are actually going to happen. You know, the thing I've been praying since I was a kid, that we were going to have flying cars and electric cars, it's actually going to happen.
And you see it in some gasoline stations too. So they're starting to get with it now.
That's so exciting. I remember the first car that I saw, it was actually Phil Stasek's.
Oh, yes.
Car. He's got the electric car, and he's like my model. You know, he's so, Phil, if you're listening, you've impressed me with your car. Certainly.
So to go along with that, does the City of Melbourne or the City Council have any plans to go solar with any city buildings?
Well, it's an expensive venture. Hopefully in the future, we will look into that. It's so important for the city, especially City Hall, to start doing that on their roof. Save us a lot of electricity costs, and of course the environment. But it's a venture that I don't see it anytime really soon, because it is expensive. But I'm pushing for it.
Oh, definitely. That's great.
Definitely.
I thought I saw some solar farm area, like, and I'm not sure that it wasn't.
It's FPL, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
That. I think something like 15,000 solar, or excuse me, thousands and thousands of solar panels that I don't know exactly where it is, but they're investing into a lot of solar panels now.
I saw quite a bit. I'm almost positive it's out on Malabar Road. Okay. That I saw a section of the area with many, and maybe not hundreds, but certainly many.
Well, I'm talking
solar
about
panels.
They have a place, I don't remember offhand, but there's thousands of solar panels. All done by Florida Power and Light. This is where the new adventure for them is going to be, a solar power.
And the beauty of all of that is that other cities have done this, and they've been successful. And I know the city that my sister lives in New Jersey, they have a solar farm, you know, for lack of a better word, and it powers all of the city buildings and all of the schools. And what a savings for the city as well. I mean, obviously upfront cost, but certainly savings of that.
Our environment again. Yes.
So we only have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk to the listeners and let them know about your campaign and your candidacy for the Melbourne District 6, correct?
Yes, thank you so much for the time. I'm requesting our viewers to please re-elect me for Melbourne City Council. I have implemented a lot of important changes in our city, and I want to continue doing that. I am very passionate about doing the right thing for the city, and the most important to me for the city is safety. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure our first responders are there, and we have sufficient coverage for our city, and also that our amendments, that people come out and vote, because it isn't just qualified candidates. We also have amendments that you have to vote on that will change your lifestyle if you don't go out and vote for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank Wonderful. You. And it's so good getting to know you, Teresa.
Thank you so much.
Do you have a website, phone number, information people can get a hold of you?
Yes. I have a Facebook website under Teresa Lopez, Teresa Lopez, District 6. Excellent. I also have my telephone number. It's the 347-686-4172. And also you can go to the City of Melbourne website, and you'll see me as a council person there and my bio. So I welcome everyone to come and join, look at our city website, see what's happening, and also see all our city council members who work together to make a better life for our residents.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you for everything that you do. And, you know, people need to be aware that the City Council makes all those important decisions.
That's
about
correct.
The roads and the water, and those affect everybody's lives.
That's correct.
Yeah, affects us every day. And you're going to hang out with us, right?
Yes,
and stay
I am.
For the amendment
yes,
conversation, because we've got Susan Smith on the line. Hello, Susan.
Hey, how are you?
It's great to have you. This is Ellen, and Joe Shim is with us.
Hey, Susan.
Hello.
And
hi.
Teresa Lopez, who is running for, is actually a Melbourne City Council person right now on District 6, but is also running for re-election.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I bet she could add to the conversation on Amendment 1.
Well, she is going to stay with us and hopefully join in. So it's about 20 after the hour. We are going to take a quick break, but we wanted to get the conversation started. And then we're going to do a little sponsor break, and then you're going to come back and we're going to wrap up with all of the amendments. So I wanted Joe first to just talk about the League of Women Voters really quickly, about it's not just women.
It's not just, no. We are open to men since 1972. We've welcomed men, and we do have actually a lot of very active men voters in our Space Coast local league.
And I love the website, because especially all the amendment information that I was able to pull today had such a great, it had both pros and cons. It was because it's a nonpartisan group.
Yeah, we're a nonpartisan organization, so we really talk about the issues, not who's presenting them. And on the amendments, we have some very thorough background information, and then we present what a yes vote will mean and what a no vote will mean.
Yes, and that is fantastic. And Susan, for our listeners who haven't heard you on our show before, you've been a past guest quite a few times, tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you do.
I'm president of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida, and we spend a lot of time and energy on policy ourselves, like the league does, and we took positions on all the amendments early on. We came out with our recommendations just a couple of days later than the league did.
So we want to make sure that our listeners know where all those websites are. I know the League of Women Voters Space Coast.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, and the League of Women Voters Florida. And you can just put in that information and the websites will come up.
Right, there you go. And what about the Democratic Progressive Caucus, Susan?
What website? progressivefl.org.
That's awesome. So for those of you who are following along, if you want to go to those websites now, you'll find all the information that we're going to talk about today. So let's just jump right in to Amendment 1. We have 12 amendments to go through, and we want to make sure that our listeners get a chance to hear about all of them. And so we're going to have to keep our answers kind of brief, important things, but certainly brief so that we can get through all of them. But let's talk about Amendment 1. Joe?
Okay, so Amendment 1 is grants an additional 25,000 homestead exemption for homes valued 125,000 or more, and that would start on January 2019. And a yes, it's important to know, a yes vote would amount to a loss of tax revenue. A no vote would retain the current exemption. And I don't know, Susan, if you've got any comments that you want to get out right now on this.
Yes, actually, this was put on the ballot by the Florida legislature, and there is a lot of opposition to this amendment because most, I think, municipal and county commission members will tell you that if you get this tax cut, they're going to have to raise your local assessments in order to pay for it if you want to keep the same level of service you've got right now. So we think this is a tax shift. You won't get rid of the taxes. You'll just have to pay it somewhere else. So we do oppose Amendment 1. I was at a Tiger Bay Club meeting about a year and a half ago, and there was nobody that would come and speak in favor of this. There were five people, including Florida Tax Watch, had a representative there speaking against it.
So who's supporting it?
Well, the legislature likes to put things like this on the ballot in order to tell people they've given them a tax cut.
Once again, masked.
But, again, it's just a tax shift, because if you want to keep your libraries open, your parks open, your road departments functioning, your sidewalks repaired, potholes fixed, all those things, then you will have to have your local assessments raised to pay for that if the homestead exemption is raised and those taxes aren't paid.
Yeah, and schools are included in that, too.
And not everybody will benefit from this, either.
Right. Teresa, you had a comment.
Yes, Susan is quite right on this. The city of Melbourne is going to lose about $1 million because of this amendment. And that means services are going to have to be cut. Mm-hmm. So think about it before you vote yes on this. Do not vote yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
I've got that the total loss would be $687 million to the state of Florida. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
And there is a tool, if you Google, and I can't give you the exact, it's not easy to remember, but I believe it's the tax collector of Pinellas County, did a little tool where you can put your county and your address in, and you'll find out what your savings, according to current valuations of your property, what your savings would be. And in Hillsboro, if you have a house valued, just as an example, at $250,000, you will save about $250 a year in your property taxes. But again, something else will have to go up to keep you at the same level of services.
Right, exactly.
So correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, all the services that we're talking about is fire, police,
paving
roads,
our streets.
Exactly. All of the mm-hmm. roads, our schools, all of
really
those things.
Need.
So get involved in this one and make sure before you vote yes, make sure you have all the facts on this one for sure. So let's jump into Amendment 2. We might be able to get through Amendment 2 before we take our quick break. So what about Amendment 2? Amendment 2 makes permanent what currently is a temporary cap of 10% of the annual property value increase for vacation homes, also apartments and commercial property, which effectively limits the increase on tax bills, right? So what's the League of Women Voters say on this one, Joe?
The League of Women Voters is actually against this one. And the League's position is it's a no, because tax sources or revenues should be specified, should not be specified, limited, or exempted or prohibited in the Constitution. So basically, the Constitution is very difficult to change. So we're not in favor of any limitations on taxes to be put into the Constitution. It needs to be more fluid so that you can react to things that are actually happening, and you can do that by putting things much more easily into the law. It takes at least 2 years to change something in the Constitution, and then it has to be a 60% vote.
So. Right, exactly. And Susan, what's your take on this one?
Our caucus also took a no position. This was actually passed for a 10-year period in 2008 as Amendment 1. It was called the Save Our Homes Amendment. You might remember.
Oh, I remember that one. Yep.
It was during the presidential primary that we voted on this. But this particular portion of that amendment was set to expire in 10 years. So we're voting now to make it permanent. So what this particular piece of the Save Our Homes did was cap the increase in non-homesteaded property values at 10%. So if you own a commercial property and the valuation of the property goes up, you can't be taxed on anything greater than a 10% increase. It also applied to second homes. At the time, I know our local Democratic Party was opposed to it because I talked about it to different groups. The League of Women Voters was also opposed to it at that time, as was the Florida Education Association. For the same reasons, basically, as Amendment 1, where if you keep cutting the property taxes, you're going to have to pay for that somewhere else. And our legislature has been famous for doing that, for shifting all the burden down to the local governments in order to claim that they've cut taxes and to give tax breaks to big multinational corporations in a lot of cases.
Yeah, which don't need any more tax breaks.
Which have gotten enough, yeah.
They've really gotten enough. They're really good on that. They should be anyway. So I just wanted to take a minute before we just take a quick break to listen for our sponsors or listen to our sponsors. I wanted to remind everybody, and Joe, you have the dates. Can people still register to vote?
No, voter registration is now closed. Okay. But they can apply to do a mail-in ballot, which a lot of organizations have been recommending because the ballot is so complicated this year. And to have time to really sit down and to go through the ballot and to know how you're going to vote on the amendments, it may be easier just to do it at home on a vote-by-mail ballot.
There you go. Can they get that from the BeReadyToVote.org site?
They can get it from the Supervisor of Elections.
Supervisor
of
Elections.
Online, or you can just go into the Supervisor of Elections office and ask for one. And they'd usually like to see it signed, especially if you've moved your residence or you're having it sent to another residence other than your residence established at the Supervisor of Elections office.
Excellent. So we will get you some more dates and so forth, but right now we're going to take a quick break, listen to a few of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Susan, you're going to hang on the phone with us just for few minutes while we listen for the break?
Sure.
Okay. Absolutely. And we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, friends, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC and the three FM stations, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. I don't know why I can't get that one out. But thank you all for joining us, no matter where you're joining us from. I just want to remind you that all of our podcasts and all of our shows are on our SitaMediaInc.com website. So they're available for you to re-listen to them or download them. We're getting right now about 1,800 downloads a week, which is exciting for us and certainly exciting for all the guests that come on. So thank you so much for the support, the continued support. We have having a robust discussion about the amendments that are coming up with this election. And I'm joined by Joe Shim, who's here from the League of Women Voters. On the phone, we have Susan Smith, who's part of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida, the president, and also Teresa Lopez, who is the Melbourne City Council Chair, District 6. So, and we were just having a great, just open discussion about the amendments, and I think we left off at, we finished Amendment 2, and we're going on to Amendment 3. So everybody ready?
We are.
Everybody's ready. So, Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about Amendment 3?
Okay, so Amendment 3 is one of the two gambling amendments, and it would require a constitutional amendment to approve any new casino gambling. And I think it's important to mention that this is a citizens initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And a yes vote on this would require the voters to approve a citizens initiative to authorize any casino gambling in Florida, and a no vote would continue to allow casino gambling to be approved by the legislature.
So what's the pros and cons to this, Susan?
Well, the pros are it would put it in the hands of the voters. The cons are it would be a steep hurdle because it's very hard to get a statewide initiative passed with 60%. And if your county decided to pass casino gambling expansion, you would have to get that onto the ballot through a citizen initiative, not through the legislature, and get it passed statewide just for your county. So this would make it very hard to expand beyond what we've got already, which is the Seminole casinos that we have, which are done through federal law, and then we have limited casinos in Broward and Miami-Dade, because those were passed prior to the legislature taking charge of this process. So we support this amendment, and the league does also. And, you know, we can talk a little bit more about that. We support it because we think it's been kind of a mess in the hands of the legislature, and a lot of lobbying dollars go into just the gambling policy initiatives, and we don't know where those gambling dollars are hurting us in other ways. So we think we would rather see it put back into the hands of the voters to have control over when gambling is expanded. Two other quick things. This was a citizen initiative, but it was paid for by Disney and by the Seminole tribes. Disney supports it because they want Florida to maintain a family vacation atmosphere as opposed to a Las Vegas-style casino gambling resort, marketing for our state tourism, and the Seminoles don't want the competition to their business in casino gambling. So that's a little bit of the background on that.
Well, and I think I read too that it did it or did it not include like bingos and poker rooms and I wasn't sure about the casino ships either.
Well, this is. It would only apply to any expansion, the way I understand it, that comes under federal. You can read it. It is confusing. I think, though, that the advertising that's being done in opposition to this amendment is very deceptive. For example, they say that this will hurt school funding if it does, if it's passed. Uh-huh. And that there's no connection there. I guess their way of thought is if you wanted to have casinos, you could have more school funding.
They were talking about the lottery, you know, trying to kind of bring the lottery into it so that it made it sound that way.
It can compete with the lottery, I think.
So the deceptive advertising, and I know they're telling American Legions and VFWs they will no longer be able to have their bingo games, but according to the way it reads, if you've already got those now, you don't fall under this casino gambling statute. So I don't, you know, I can't speak to it in any more depth than that.
Well, and the big word that you said is the expansion. So everything that's in place right now would remain in place, and anything going forward would involve this piece. So, good.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not one we need to spend a whole lot more time on. Teresa, any comments on this one?
Well, it's a citizen initiative. Yeah. I always let the voters decide what they want to do. If they want this, they should vote yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. But read into it. Make sure you read into it for sure. So, Susan, tell us a little bit about Amendment 4.
Amendment 4 is something the Democratic Party has been working on for a long time in conjunction with the League and the ACLU and many other groups. Florida is one of the only states that doesn't restore the right to vote to people who have served their sentences and their time when they've committed a felony. they have to go through an extensive, pretty impossible process in order to get their rights restored. So this would automatically restore the voting rights of anybody who has paid their paid their dues to society for the crimes they've committed. So we do support this. This is citizen-initiated, and this really was a very grassroots effort. I'm sure that, many people that are listening helped either sign the petition or helped gather petitions for this initiative.
And we actually had the gentleman on the road, on the show, like right as
probably,
he was baking it, because out
Desmond,
of Orlando, Desmond Mee.
He's got an amazing story.
Yes.
There are currently about 1.5 million disenfranchised Floridians who don't get to vote because of this.
Yeah, this one's a no-brainer to me. What about you, Joe?
Oh, definitely. And if I'm definitely in favor of it. And if people who are listening want to learn more about it, this Saturday at FIT in Melbourne, there's going to be a presentation with Amy Goodman. She'll be in conversation with voting rights advocates, and she'll be talking to Desmond Mead and Howard Simon from the ACLU, and they'll be talking about Amendment 4. So it's only $10 to go, or $15 at the door, and we're hoping it's a sellout. And if people want to find out any more about this, or they want to see Desmond in action, he's an amazing speaker. Please come.
He really is. Mm-hmm. And he was on the show. Like I said, you can go back to our past shows and just search on CETA Media Inc. He did a fantastic presentation. I believe his wife was running for office or was a representative in Orlando at one point, right around the time that he was on the show. So
yes.
They are very involved and great people, great, great people. Tracy had a comment.
Yes, I definitely support this Amendment 4. It's basically for criminals with minor offenses. It isn't criminals who have murdered or sex offenders. So I truly support this. I don't think people with minor offenses should not have to suffer for the rest of their life for something that they have already paid for. So they should be allowed to vote.
Absolutely. All right. Enough about. Go ahead. You had one more comment.
Well, I just wanted to say this is has bipartisan support. This amendment.
Seems like I said this was like almost seemed like a no-brainer. And the funny thing is I didn't even realize that if you were charged with a felony that you couldn't vote. Like until this came around, until Desmond came on the show. Yeah, you don't realize it, and you think about the people that have. Small crimes, like we said, still minor. Felonies, but minor crimes.
Yes, releasing a helium balloon is a felony in Florida.
We were actually talking about that, like one of the shows this particular month, and it was one of the detectives that was on the show, and she said, "No, I don't think that's true." And I showed her the statute. She was like, "I had no idea." And I said, "That's some of the silly stuff that we don't necessarily always get a chance to read into or even understand." Something is. As non-evasive, that non-anything is that. Certainly some, you should be able to vote after that. Let's leave it at that. So Amendment 5 requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature to approve any or new increased taxes or fees rather than the current requirement of a single simple majority. If the amendment passes, that would mean that 80 of its 120 members of the Florida House would have to vote in favor of raising taxes or fees. In the Senate, it would take a vote of 27 and that body's 40 members. So, Susan, what do you think about this one?
I'm definitely opposed to this. This is a really bad amendment put on by the Florida legislature. This is model legislation from the American Legislative Exchange Council. It has passed in other states. So this would tie the hands of future legislatures from dealing with any financial situations, emergencies that we might have. For example, in Oklahoma, where they had the teachers strike, back in the spring. One of the reasons that they were not able to deal with the issues surrounding their school funding at the time in that emergency situation is they had this supermajority requirement for their legislature. It's hard enough if you have to pass a tax increase to meet your needs, it's hard enough to do it with a simple majority. So this would make it nearly impossible for the future. So I know some of our current legislators legislators that voted against this said, why do I have the right to make that call for somebody that might be in office 20 years from now? We think it's very bad policy to do this. It would also keep them from dealing with any unfair tax breaks that people have that they might want to repeal. So we're opposed to this one.
When I went back to the same thing, I was like, well, if they pass this one, then I'd require that they're all in attendance all the time.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, you're not allowed to skip. You're not allowed to be absent from those things. And
that's,
Joe,
that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. So this shouldn't pass.
Yes, the league is opposed to this. It would just totally handicap the legislature, and we would not be able to respond to anything we needed to respond to, especially emergencies that occurred.
So right, like we're dealing with now in the panhandle, right, of all the emergencies that we need. So we're going to, for the sake of time, we're going to, the ones that we agree on and that there's not a whole lot of discussion about because it seems pretty simple to us, we're going to move on. So we're going to move on to Amendment 6 unless there's any other comments about 5. We're good? Okay, so Amendment 6. Joe, why don't you tell us about Amendment 6?
Ooh, Amendment 6 needs a lot of thought.
I thought this was one of your favor. Yeah.
So this deals with the rights of victims, and there's two things on judges. One is to raise the age that judges have to retire to 75. The other is to, as it pertains to judges, and the other point is it prohibits courts and judges from deferring to state agencies' interpretations of the law. But the main thing that we're hearing about this one is as it pertains to victims' rights. And it's also been called Marcy's Law. So if you've seen some of the ads, you've probably heard Marcy Law's Victims' Rights. So
that is the strangest coupling. So, this is the stuff that drives me crazy on these amendments.
So 6 to 13 actually came out of the Constitution Revision Commission that met all through last year into this year and came up with these additional amendments, which came as a result of that Constitution meeting and going through the Constitution to see what needed to be revised. And actually, Marcy's Law started in California, and the organization that started this, they are actually going through, they're trying to introduce it into every state in the union. So it expands victims' rights, many of which are state law, while limiting time for the accused to file appeals. And it eliminates an existing constitution provision that victims' rights do not interfere with the constitutional rights of the accused. And also it has significant impact on the rights of the accused, which I think is the central, one of the central points. We already have rights that protect or rights for victims, although I think they could be strengthened, but I don't think it needs to be necessarily done in the Constitution. But I think it's also important to realize that we do not need to take away the rights of the accused also. And the ACLU, it's really worth reading what they say on this amendment because it puts a whole different perspective on it. But I know it's very difficult to understand, and who wouldn't think, okay, you know, we do want to give the accused their due. So I think this is a really difficult, yes, I really do think this is a difficult one, and I'd be really interested in what Susan has to say.
Yeah, so we thank you so much for that. So we have a couple of other points to make on this one. It also gives corporations the right to claim victimhood for financial crimes. So if somebody shoplifts, they can be tied up in court by a corporation like Walmart indefinitely by Walmart claiming these victims' rights and denying this person their trial or their fair hearing. So we think that expanding it to corporations is a bad idea. That's one of the dangers that wasn't thought out when this was written. And another part of it that one of our members who's an attorney, she's a retired attorney, but she has a real problem with the part about judges not deferring to agencies, because she said that's called the Chevron deference. And this would open the door to getting rid much more easily of regulations that an agency might write, because mostly once a policy is set and a bill is passed, the agencies write the regulations around that policy. For example, the EPA has written regulations around clean air, clean water, and this would allow those to be overturned by a single judge as opposed to the agency that wrote the regulations being able to weigh in. So this is being fought in at the federal level also. So we think this might actually be the poison pill that was put into this amendment because they thought Marcy's law would be an easy pass and would appeal to people, so they put this poison pill into it at the same time.
So it goes back to what you said, Joe, of make sure you read through.
Yes.
Because the ACLU probably points out a few of those things.
It does, and it's very strong on how this bill would affect the rights of the accused.
Right, exactly. So this is a bad amendment. It's and it's hard to oppose it, but it's not good. And I think we would it would have long lasting implications and probably many, many court battles involved with it.
Yep. And we don't need any more of that. We don't need anything else, any bottlenecking, any more court appearances for sure. So let's move on to Amendment 7, the first responder and military member survivor benefits. Public colleges and universities, again, another one that I looked at, was like, how do these things go together? But it's supposed to create a supermajority requirement for universities to impose new or increased existing student fees, enshrines in the Constitution guidelines for the state college system, and mandates that employees or the state pay a death benefit to the first responders and members of the military killed in the line of duty. Once again, part of it sounds intelligent, like that's something that we should do. But what's your take? Susan, why don't you go first?
Well, it sounds like a logical thing to do, and we're already doing those things.
Right.
This puts things into the Constitution that don't belong there, and things that are already being done. So we think the poison pill in this one is the supermajority, again, for university boards to be able to raise their fees to deal with any emergencies on campus. This would not have to do with tuition, only with fees. Tuition's handled by the Florida legislature. So we're opposed, and let me go ahead quickly and say, 7, 9, and 11 are still under court challenge. So even though they're on our ballot, it could be that the courts will overturn those, and we will not. Well, they're already off, but Pam Bondi, as the Attorney General, challenged that. So they're on the ballot, but it could be that our votes in the end on these will not really matter if the court opinion is upheld.
Right. So, Joe, any comments on that?
So, anyway, we're opposed to this. It's bundled, and it we think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I thought it was, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. And the League is also opposed. We're opposed to the supermajority vote to increase fees or taxes. And family members of the military who die in the line of duty are currently already compensated through the federal government.
Right. I always get nervous about that supermajority word. That's always my key. Like that something's buried in this that I'm not going to like, I'm sure. So let's move on to Amendment 9, which is the offshore oil and gas drilling and preventing vaping in enclosed indoor workplaces. Once again, don't understand how those two got together. But Joe, what do you think?
You know, this was what they call log rolling. They just put two things together to
right.
try and get a certain result. So offshore drilling's of a great concern to voters, especially since we can see what's happened in areas of the Gulf. And we already have a lot of constitutional prohibitions about smoking in the workplace. So it seems unnecessary to put voting in the Constitution. You have to ask, do these things really belong in the Constitution?
Right.
So a yes vote would enshrine in the Constitution a ban on offshore oil and gas drilling. signal Florida's opposition to offshore drilling and add vaping restrictions to the Constitution, and a no vote would keep a drilling ban out of the Constitution, signal to federal government that Florida doesn't care about offshore drilling, and keep vaping out of the Constitution.
Yeah, so, I'm scared about the off. I understand both sides of it. But I am scared about the offshore drilling a little bit, just from a environmental standpoint, and definitely, and the fact that if they're going to make those drills, they got to make sure that they have, much like the BP scare, they have to make sure they have machinery to go down and fix it if something happens, right? Which is what happened. That was kind of more of the tragedy with BP than the initial mistake. Yes. It was the fact that it went on for so long because they didn't have the machinery to go down and fix it. So, mm-hmm. Susan, just a quick comment on this one, because we want to make sure we only have a few minutes left.
We're a yes on this one for the same reasons as the league.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So amendment, I know we said Amendment 11. You said that was the other one that was in...
possibly off the ballot, but
correct.
But we don't know. It's on there, so we say a no vote, and we do want to encourage everybody, if you vote yes, but also if you oppose something, vote no, because the 60% threshold applies to just the vote on that particular amendment. So let's say you've got 100,000 people voting on the total ballot, but on Amendment 9 only 10,000 people, the threshold of 60% would only be for that 10,000. So if you oppose something, you need to vote no, and don't just leave it blank.
Right, because then that constitutes a yes.
Yes, it basically constitutes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So of the other three that we haven't talked about, Amendment 10, which is about the state and local government structure and operation. Amendment 12 is the lobbying and abuse of office by public officers. And Amendment 13, which is about dog racing. Which one do you want to spend some time on?
Susan? I think 10 and 11 are both bundled. We oppose both. I think those are the two the league takes no position on.
Yes,
or is it
correct.
11 and 12? Yeah, we oppose those. On number 10, we decided, again, it's better left to the voters. Those that have charters, operate, counties that have charters operate under their own charter. You're in Brevard County, am I right?
Yes, yep.
So you operate under your own charter.
Correct.
If this passes, there are certain things dealing with your constitutional officers that you would have no say-so over. So it takes away local control from charter counties. So I know I've got a lot of good friends who support this because they think that appointed positions, like some counties have, is not good, and there's been a lot of corruption. We took a no position. We're also opposed to this because it sets up, under the Department of Florida, the Department of Law Enforcement, it sets up a separate office of domestic terrorism domestic security and counterterrorism.
Terrorism,
I have
right.
The word in the right order there. And we felt like that, having its own office, even though it's still under FDLE, opens us up to a more militaristic police force in Florida, and that concerns us. Because
okay.
We think policing is better done with a different mindset, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of a danger for us in that amendment also. And then number 11 removes obsolete language. It would also remove this...
So unfortunately, we've only got 30 seconds left
okay,
of the show.
Okay, the savings clause. We oppose it because the language is so confusing in this one. I dare anybody to read it and explain to me what it actually says.
So the challenge, the gauntlet has been thrown. Susan Smith, thank you so much for joining us today. Joe Shim, thank you so much for sitting in.
It's been
my
pleasure to be here.
And Teresa Lopez, good luck with your election for the Melbourne City Council. And just to wrap up, I just want to remind everybody that Amendment 13, we did discuss on one of the last shows, so we do have a show just about Amendment 13, so you can read up on that one. Please do your homework, and please, if nothing else, just go out and vote. We just want you to go out and vote, and make sure you make sure that yes or no's, don't leave them blank, because those will just signify as yeses. And once again, another fantastic Viewpoint with Sita and Friends show, because she gets such fantastic guests. Sita, hope good luck with your forum today, and we'll see you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.